Oshkosh and WZBU New Holstein Appleton, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, a civic media station.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Severton. There have been more air attacks between Iran and Israel today. ABC's Andrew Dimbert.
President Trump also questioning the future of Iran's regime, posting, "Why wouldn't there be a regime change?" The comment possibly hinting at hopes that the Iranian people will now demand new leadership. Vice President J.D. Vance insists the U.S. strikes were about stopping Iran's nuclear ambitions, not toppling its government.
Iran's foreign minister is in Moscow to meet with President Putin. Oil prices have been up, down, up again. Between Texas and Maine, about 150 million Americans are under heat alerts for today. A shocker, the Texas Republican governor, Greg Abbott, has vetoed a measure passed by the Republican-controlled state legislature. The bill would have prohibited sale of products containing a main ingredient in marijuana, THC. It took all seven games, but the Oklahoma Thunder beat the Indiana Pacers 103-91 and are the new NBA champs. This is ABC News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For 98.3 and 96.5 WISS News, I'm Lisa Hale. The weekend was a record breaker with temperatures soaring over 90 degrees in Wisconsin and heat indices reaching 105. Green Bay broke its record from 1910 with its 94 degree high on Sunday. Expect more of the same today with a high of about 93 or above, with a cold front moving through this evening, bringing with it rain and storms and cooler temperatures through the mid portion of the week. We're entering the glory days of summer, but as temperatures rise, the Wisconsin State Patrol is urging drivers to stay cool behind the wheel. Melissa Kay reports.
The State Patrol's law of the month for June is to avoid reckless driving. This includes one or more of the following behaviors: speed, improper lane changes, distracted driving, and erratic or aggressive behaviors. In 2024, 138 people died and more than 3,000 were hurt in more than 5,600 reckless driving crashes in Wisconsin. Two out of three of these crashes involved speed or distracted driving. The tragedies that can result from reckless driving are preventable. The Wisconsin State Patrol urges drivers to follow posted speed limits, avoid distractions, and be patient on the road.
It's June Dairy Month, and Governor Tony Evers and the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection are highlighting the economic impact of the dairy industry. According to the DATCP data, the dairy industry contributes over $50 billion of economic impact in the state and supports over 120,000 jobs. Wisconsin has more dairy farms than any other state in the country, and about 80% of the milk produced here is exported. About 20% of Wisconsin's milk products are exported internationally. I'm Lisa Hale for 98.3 and 96.5 WISS News. For news anytime, visit WISS.FM.
It's the Brewers and the Pirates. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball tonight as the Brewers open a home series against the Pittsburgh Pirates. Milwaukee now just 3.5 games out of first place after sweeping the Twins over the weekend. 9-8 yesterday at Target Field. The Brewers had a 9-3 lead thanks to Rhys Hoskins with a double, a home run, and two runs batted in. But closer Trevor Megill had to come in the eighth to hold off Minnesota. Pat Murphy says catcher William Contreras also doing a great job setting up batters, and praised Megill getting his 17th save of the season already.
The kid's been pretty consistent. He knows who he is. And again, William Contreras was great back there.
NBA Finals, Oklahoma City pulled ahead to win the title in Game 7, 103-91. Pacers head coach Rick Carlisle on losing his star player from Oshkosh, Tyrese Halliburton, to a torn Achilles tendon in the first quarter.
What happened with Tyrese is all of our hearts dropped.
That's Rick Carlisle with Sports on Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
It is going to be hot and humid again today. The heat index is going to be back up to near 100 or better this afternoon. Then we do have a chance of thunderstorms later today, and some of those could be strong to severe with hail, wind gusts, and tornadoes possible. So stay weather aware here throughout the day today. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 80.
Mommy, can I sit in the front seat just this one time? Please, please, please.
No, not yet.
But why?
Because I love you, and you're just not ready yet. Now, get in the back so I can get you in your car seat, please.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Mino and the Mayor.
Show the picture he showed me today in the striped little short shorts.
No, it was the
they
belly.
They would be banned
I
now.
Know. No, John.
Too much skin.
Hubba, hubba, hubba.
Man, dig that crazy shit.
Oh, man, short shorts.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday mornings, 6 till 9. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. We'll take a look back at the weekend news headlines and also State Senator Kelda Royce. Will the Joint Finance Committee actually meet this week? She'll tell us. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4. A new choice. The Fox Valley's real news and great conversation. WISS.
Good morning and welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Buck, and Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same. 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Lots of stuff coming up on the show today. Very excited to talk to Civic Media's new news director.
New news. Not old news director.
No, she is our new news director. Right. Charlie Pittman is going to be joining us after 9:30. We have a wonderful news department that is scattered all over Wisconsin, covering things that matter to all of us. So Charlie is going to be joining us. We will speak a little bit more in depth about the U.S. striking Iran over the weekend, dropping that bomb. We will, again, talk about that a little bit more with Charlie and other things that our news department is working on. And I mentioned this. I just appeared with Pat Kreitlow on his show right before the top of the hour news. Sign up for our newsletter. Sign up for the Civic Media newsletter. It really is great, and it's not going to cost you anything.
No, and there's so many ways to be informed with Civic Media. You can get the Civic Media newsletter. From what I understand, there's even like a new and improved or another. We just want to get that information out to you. But you can also wherever you listen. So if you're listening to WAUK right now, you can go to waukradio.com and you can sign up for the WAUK newsletter. And that is a more concentrated, more regional
community.
Exactly. And so you can stay informed with all the stories, because that's a great thing about Civic Media's news desk, is that it's not just covering the statewide news. It's not just covering the nation. It's covering those, the Cranberry Festivals and such and such today. It's got everything you need.
Yep. What's going on in Oshkosh? What's going on in Park Falls? What's going on in Hayward? Again, we have a news department scattered all across the state. So Charlie will be joining us after the 9:30 news. Hour number two, we're going to lighten things up a little bit. PJ Leash is UW-Madison's and Wisconsin's essentially bug guy. He is an entomologist. Mm-hmm. And I've seen a lot of reports that ticks are worse than ever this season. So we're going to talk about that a little bit. Also, the Trump administration looks like it's going to cancel another study on the importance of pollinators.
Because why bother?
No one depends on that for almonds or cherries or other things we eat.
There is a farmer's market that Bridget and I go to every Saturday, and there is a local honey place, and they have a t-shirt that's available that says, no bees, no food.
It's true.
Very simple.
Yep, pretty simple. So PJ Leash joining us in hour number two. We will wrap up the show, as we always do, with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it's the Lost and Found edition, so stick around for that. And as always, if you have a thing you think should not be, send it in to Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us, JaneSays, janesays@civicmedia.us. Wanted to start off with this. Again, we're going to be talking about the U.S. bombing Iran over the weekend. After the 9:30 news, we'll get into a little bit more with Charlie Pittman to find out the latest on that and the latest where we're going from here. Yeah. But I wanted to start off, we wanted to start a little bit more locally with what's going on in Wisconsin. And Wisconsin's Chris
Kapinga.
Kapinga, thank you. We're finally going to say it correctly.
This is a, I will say this again to his face when he's on the show on Friday, but this is an apology to Dan Schaefer, who on the air said he was pronouncing Chris Kapinga's name incorrectly, because we've been saying Kapinga.
Kapinga, which is not it.
No one has corrected us.
Yeah, that's not it. It's a Kapinga.
Kapinga, yeah.
Senator Kapinga was on WISN's Up Front over the weekend talking about the budget, but also talking about security of our lawmakers. This is in the wake of the assassination, essentially, of the Minnesota lawmaker and her husband, and the attempted murder of another Minnesota lawmaker and his wife.
Yeah.
And so Kapinga was on WISN's Up Front talking about more security for Wisconsin's lawmakers. Let's play that first clip, Calvin, please, from Sunday's Up Front on WISN.
The security concern, I've been raising that for about the last 4 years. And actually, when I was in the president's spot in the Senate, we researched security systems. We had one picked out, but we just couldn't get enough support within the legislature to get that put in place. And I've been to capitals all over the country. There's not one capital I've been in that we haven't had to go through intense security screenings.
You mentioned your time as Senate President. Back in 2023, you pushed for more security after a man was arrested trying to get a handgun into the Capitol, Governor Evers. You say that didn't go anywhere because of support. Where does that stand now? Are you still having those conversations?
Yeah, I think this will obviously help. I wish it wasn't something we had to have happen, but I actually said that. I'm like, what is it going to take for us to get serious about security? It's probably going to take somebody getting hurt.
So let's just start off with the obvious. We here, Matt and Aaron Air, Civic Media, we don't believe that violence is the answer. We don't think it's right. Politically driven violence is terrible. We think that anyone in that building and anywhere, period, should be safe, secure, and feel unencumbered by an attacker. That should go without saying, Jane, but I feel like we have to say that.
I agree with you.
But what he just said in that sentence is so, I don't want to say angering, but just frustrating for me as an American. What does it take? Why we don't want to, what it's the reactive nature. We want to be proactive instead of reactive. Every time there is any sort of mass shooting in this country, and that happens a lot, there is outcry. There is outcry for red flag laws. There's outcry for increased background checks. There's outcry for get rid of certain guns, get rid of certain styles of guns. There's a conversation that happens every time. And we are always told by the right and by gun enthusiasts, don't politicize this. You're making too big of a deal of it. It's the Second Amendment. It's our God-given right. It shall not be infringed. Everything is there. And we're simply saying, how many times does this have to happen for us
before something gets done?
What Mr. Kapinga is saying is the people who want to get some reform, the gun reform individuals have been saying for years, decades now, is basically like, what does it take to get some security? What does it take to do something about this issue of weapons? And let's just face it, people aren't running in with axes, they're running in with guns. So he's making the exact same argument that people on the gun reform side have been making for a long time. So now all of a sudden it's something we need to look at.
Right, because it's them.
Yes.
Because it's lawmakers.
It's
about our lawmakers, not about our kids.
No.
Not about our kids going to school, having to worry about being shot at school.
Mm-hmm.
That's not that we're there. He's not talking about any of that.
No. And if you want proof that he's talking about specifically about lawmakers, he's not talking about the people. And that's the other thing that's really infuriating. He's not talking honestly about the people in the building. He's not talking about the assistants, the interns, the aides, the cleaning staff.
Right. There's all kinds of people that work in the Capitol.
All sorts of individuals who work in there. He's talking about the lawmakers who need to be protected specifically. And that's true. They should be protected. They need, like, everyone in that building should be protected. And once again, I'm saying the obvious again. But he is speaking about lawmakers specifically on this one. And that also upsets me because it shouldn't matter what your job is in that building. Everyone should feel safe.
I would say that everyone as individuals should feel safe.
What an amazing idea.
Right? Yeah. We have another clip from yesterday's appearance. Senator Chris Kapinga on WISN up front. Calvin, play clip number two, please.
What Indiana, for instance, it's a great example that I bring up a lot, is that Indiana is extremely conservative and pro personal gun protection. They allow legislators to carry into the building for protection, which I always do. I always have been armed to protect myself, especially when I'm up in the front in the president's spot. That was, I just felt it was very important. But the general public, they don't need to have their weapons in the people's house. In the people's house, it's their representatives who are elected. That's the voice of the people. And I need to be protected as a public servant. So does everybody else who's been elected into that spot. We should not be worrying about our lives walking into that building.
So you still want lawmakers to be able to carry inside and on the floor?
Absolutely.
Lot to unpack there.
Did you just hear what he said? Everyone listening right now, watching on the live stream, did you hear what he just said? He said that his life is more important for protection than the lives of others.
Because he's the voice of the people.
He's the voice. No, he is not. He is the guy who casts the vote. And right now he's doing nothing. We'll get to the budget later. But the people are who are important. And the people's voice needs to be protected. I have so many problems with this statement. So many.
Well, and I don't disagree. Yes, our lawmakers should be able to walk into the Capitol and not have to worry about getting shot.
Mm-hmm.
I think our kids should be able to walk into school
mm-hmm.
and not have to worry about being shot. I think all of us as Americans should be able to go, I don't know, to church or the grocery store, or the gas station, or pretty much anywhere and not have to worry about being shot. And the fact that he can stand up there and say that he is the voice of the people, when we know the Joint Finance Committee that had four meetings around Wisconsin completely ignored the top three issue they heard from people.
Mm-hmm.
Don't tell me that you're the voice of the people.
Well, and also he's designated as he is more important than.
His life has more value.
His life has more value, therefore he should be able to carry a gun into that building. The fact that there's no metal detectors in there is surprising. I will say that.
I don't have a problem with that.
There should be up to the state of the art
security
in that building, and there should be well paid guards in that building to take care of it.
Who are trained?
I do not believe that lawmakers carrying guns in their pocket is somehow making it more safe to be in there. I do not agree with that, and I vehemently disagree with the notion that because he is a lawmaker, somehow he has more value. That is ridiculous. That is offensive, and it's stupid. It's a stupid argument to make. Just because you want to carry your personal defense mechanism. It's a gun. It's a gun, sir. People are pro personal defense. It's a gun. You want to carry a gun because you watched a Western and you want to feel like a man. I'm sorry. It is so telling to me what he thinks of the people.
And I just found it immensely tone deaf.
Yes.
I did. I found it really tone deaf. Again, yes, I agree. Our lawmakers should be able to do their jobs without the threat of being gunned down at work. Mm-hmm. I think all of us are entitled to that.
Absolutely.
As Americans.
And
if you're going to be the voice of the people, Mr. Kapinga, then actually do what they're asking you to do.
Absolutely.
That's a thought.
Absolutely. And this is splitting hairs here, but we're also ignoring the fact that these two lawmakers and their spouses were not gunned down in the building. They were gunned down at home. That's a whole other argument. Whole other discussion we need to have about this. What kind of security do they need to have off the clock, if you will?
Right.
You know, we can talk about that, but just because you want to carry a gun into a building, don't make the argument that you're more important than the other individuals in said building.
When we return, Elon, he's just going to rewrite history the way he wants it. It's all good. Nothing to see here. Stay close. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
98.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Remembering Vietnam, brought to you by The Dispensary.
One day we started heading back to dock towing some wounded guys in the truck, and the company commander said to stop the convoy. He said, "Where are the bodies?" We had two guys killed, and they had been left lying back there. That can't happen. So the captain said, "We need some guys to go back and get them." I'm thinking, I hope it's not me. And sure enough, he says, "Brzezinski, come with me. We're going back to pick up the bodies." And I'm like, "Captain, what do you mean? Can't we take the truck?" He said, "No, because they would just blow it up, and we can't afford to lose that truck." I took my helmet and flak jacket off. I could never run in those things, although I knew one well-placed bullet could kill me, and we started running back to the bodies. Mike Brzezinski, United States Army, Vietnam.
Hear this complete story at WISS.FM. Click on Remembering Vietnam. Brought to you by The Dispensary. Online at thed8dispensary.com.
Look up cheese curds. You'll find this basic definition: wet pieces of curdled milk.
Huh?
Well, it should also include the word delicious. As we continue to celebrate June Dairy Month, do you know how much milk is needed to make 1 pound of cheese curds? 16 ounces, 64 ounces, or 160 ounces, 10 pounds of milk? The answer coming up.
It actually is a sound of freshness.
Rachel Kerr is talking about squeaky curds. She's with the Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin and a bit of a cheese nerd.
Those elastic protein strands rub against the enamel of your teeth and create that characteristic sound.
The squeak turns stretchy when battered and deep fried. Some believe the idea to fry globs of cheese happened by accident. I consider it a happy accident. Okay, did you guess? It takes 10 pounds of milk, which is a big gallon jug plus a little bit more, to make 1 pound of squeaky cheese curds. Call me your curd girl for this slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Snakes, zombies, public speaking, the list of fears is endless. But the real danger is in your hand when you're behind the wheel. Distracted driving is what's really scary, and even deadly. Eyes forward, don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Sweet Calby on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter later on today, 2:35 during the Todd Alba Show. Todd welcomes back State Senator Kel DeRoyes from the Joint Finance Committee to talk about the state budget in hour number two on Todd's show, a weather edition of What's Worse. Is it the heat or humidity? I'm just guessing.
I'll bet you it's winter versus summer, because I'm seeing a lot of the, especially in Wisconsin, the, you say it's too hot now, you said it was too cold, like all of that.
Right.
We do it every year. We do. Every year we forget that Wisconsin is insane.
It's weather whiplash.
Exactly.
Like just, you wait 2 days and it's going to change. Before we went to the break, we were talking about State Senator Chris Kapinga appearing on WISN's Upfront over the weekend, talking about that tragic assassination of the Minnesota lawmaker and her husband. And he would like to see metal detectors at the Capitol, which I don't have a problem with. Mm-mm. But essentially, he's talking about how important he is because he is the voice of the people.
Wow. Yeah, just, I mean.
Okay. Cassandra from New London. Wow, I don't have a lot of words for this. How dare you say you are more valuable than my children?
Yeah.
And Sue from Franklin, I watched that yesterday and I was thinking the same thing. They are so inward focused.
Yeah.
What does Jane say? Good for me, but not for thee.
Yeah.
Yeah. Security for me, but you, your kid's five. They'll be fine.
And if you want to talk to Mr. Kapinga's office, you can go to myvote.wi.gov. You don't even have to be represented by Mr. Kapinga because he's the voice of the people and you are the people.
You are a people.
So go to myvote.wi.gov and you can put in your information. You can find not only all sorts of great stuff on voting, which you should do now before this election, before you might forget, but also on your representatives. You can find out from the president on down to your local school board yep. and common council members. So you can call his office up, be kind, be nice. The person who call person who's answering is either an aide or an intern. So yeah, they're just there to talk to you. But tell them that your voice matters, that you will matter, and he is not more important than you are.
Well, and also, if he's the voice of the people, maybe he should actually vote on behalf of what he hears from those people.
Absolutely.
It's just
absolutely.
A thought.
Yeah, just a tiny idea.
We're not going to spend a lot of time on this, but I think this is really important.
Yeah.
And I think if you just spend a couple of minutes thinking about this, this is really disturbing. Elon mm-hmm. Musk has announced plans to completely rewrite human knowledge after his AI chatbot Grok, which I've never used, but I see it show up on Twitter all the time. Grok is like community notes.
Yeah.
So if you post something and you go to Grok and say, Grok, is this accurate? Mm-hmm. Well, unfortunately, Grok has been discounting a lot of what Elon has said as far as it's not factual. So Grok is correcting Elon. We can't have that.
Yeah.
Can't have Grok correcting the most wonderful, smartest man in the world, Elon Musk. So yesterday, here's what he said on Twitter, quote, we will use Grok 3.5, maybe we should call it 4, which has advanced reasoning to rewrite the entire corpus of human knowledge, adding missing information and deleting errors. So Elon wants to rewrite history. Deleting errors.
Well, honestly, Jay, I mean, let's just be quite honest really quick about it all. He is doing what the Texas school board has done. He's doing what other school boards have done. But he's saying fancy space words like, yeah, I'm rewriting knowledge. No, you're not. You're just going to say that. You're going to say that, oh, man, white Africans really had it harder than you think.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. That apartheid really hurt them, too.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I should be shocked, appalled. I should be clutching my pearls. But he's really just digitalizing and advancing and making it look cooler what lawmakers, historians, school boards, and other weirdo individuals who just want us to forget about slavery have been doing for decades. And I'm sorry, for over a century.
Well,
really.
Right. And just trying to disappear truths.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's disappear things that are uncomfortable, that make us feel badly about our past. Mm-hmm. We shouldn't ever have to admit that we did things wrong.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I see from Donald Trump all the time.
Well, I mean,
who never admits that he's done anything wrong.
No.
But this should be very concerning, mm-hmm. especially with AI. And if you've seen some of the AI fakes going around,
yeah,
it's pretty astonishing. So in different chats, I've seen people tell other people, hang on to your books. Hang on to your history books.
What I'm hoping is that while he does his redefining human knowledge in a space age, blah, 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 my rockets blow up, is that there?
Yeah, they blew up another one last week.
I know. I believe that there will be people or groups of people who are just way smarter than Elon. What am I saying? I'm as smart as Elon, who will build systems, AI systems, things that will counter this.
Do you?
Yes, absolutely. I think there are good people out there, and I think they'll put their brains to good work. And while Grok is going to be funded by the biggest weirdo loser, richest man ever, I think there are going to be people who I wouldn't be surprised if that's not already happening, who will produce things that will fly in the face of what he's trying to do, especially in the rewriting of human knowledge.
Something to counter this?
At the very least, and I know it sounds very basic, but you go to Wikipedia, and while people can say, well, it's Wikipedia, but there are dozens of citations on there saying where they got the information, and you can go find out for yourself. So while this is disappointing yet nothing new, I feel like good people will come to the rescue and be like, hey,
and step up.
Yeah,
let's hope so. We have news coming up next when we return. Civic Media's new news director, Jolly Pittman, is going to be joining us. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Yeah! This is 98.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of Mino and the Mayor.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For 98.3 and 96.5 WISS News, I'm Lisa Hale. Our very own lakes can have very high levels of bacteria, E. coli, and algae blooms that you do not want to swim in. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot explains where it comes from and how it can make you sick.
The Mayo Clinic says it's a bacteria that usually lives in animals' intestines. And this nasty bug gets into our water after recent rain drains urban sewer water and rural agricultural runoff into our lakes and streams. It's a major problem in Wisconsin, as fertilizer seeps into our water system from farm fields, alongside tons of manure getting washed into our recreational waters, causing major algae blooms to spark. It's called cyanobacteria, or what we call blue-green algae in our freshwater systems. It's the outbreak of smelly and slimy microorganisms that can kill fish and block sunlight from deeper water organisms. And for us humans, it causes nausea, vomiting, and may progress to more serious, long-term health issues like liver failure or cancer. And it can happen for people swimming in it, eating fish from it, or drinking the infected water. So the DNR and other agencies have to monitor hundreds of lakes and beaches for unhealthy levels. And there's actually an interactive map on their website that you can check out ahead of time. Or if you're already there, signs should be posted at those beaches. Higher temperatures and increased sunlight in summer months encourage and increase these algae blooms, and so does standing water. Remember, if the water looks or smells bad, stay out of it and keep kids and pets and livestock away. And follow advice from officials if the harmful algae is in your water. For Civic Media News, I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
I'm Lisa Hale for 98.3 and 96.5 WISS News. For news anytime, visit WISS.FM.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Danny Boyle is back with the release of 28 Years Later, his long-awaited third installment of the 28 Days franchise. In a recent article in Variety, the Slumdog Millionaire Oscar-winning director says, due to cultural appropriation, he probably couldn't direct a film like Slumdog Millionaire nowadays, but says he's okay with that and that he would want a young Indian director to have that opportunity to tell the story. What a cool dude. Boyle's other credits include Trainspotting and 127 Hours. Timothy Oliphant is on a roll. The star of Justified has a new show on Apple TV Plus called Lucky, where he stars opposite Anna Taylor-Joy. But Oliphant wasn't done. He still managed to find room in his calendar to join the cast of another Apple show called Stick, alongside Owen Wilson. The Emmy-nominated Oliphant will next be seen in FX's Alien Earth, which drops in August, and he will join a new Peacock show called Five Star Weekend. Cha-ching. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
It is going to be hot and humid again today. The heat index is going to be back up to near 100 or better this afternoon. Then we do have a chance of thunderstorms later today, and some of those could be strong to severe with hail, wind gusts, and tornadoes possible. So stay weather aware here throughout the day today. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 82.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Todd Michaels joins us now.
I have to give a shout out to Oshkosh. It's a very underrated city.
There was also a restaurant there I really liked. I don't think it's there anymore.
Yeah, Vitaly's was great. I may have gone to like a prom dinner there or something like that back in my day too, Pete.
A little calzone before you tear it up in the dance floor.
Yeah, there's nothing better than wearing a tuxedo and a little calzone in your cummerbund.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Mark Sommerhauser, the communications director for the Wisconsin Policy Forum, analyzing the impacts of the big brutal bill.
That number that you mentioned of nearly $15,000 per person, literally about a quarter of the state's economy.
Basically a quarter of the state's economy coming from the federal government. I'm not hearing from Republicans in the state in their biennial budget planning any sort of contingency plan for major disruption in federal funding coming into the state.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m. Maggie Dawn.
LGBTQ rights are under attack. At 4:30, Patrick Faribault from Our Lives Magazine joins to discuss what's at stake and how we celebrate pride right here in Wisconsin. Don't miss The Maggie Dawn Show.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Box, Sweet Cal B on the board. Coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. Join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Next hour after the 10 o'clock news, he's the bug guy, entomologist PJ Leash from UW-Madison is going to be joining us to talk all things creepy crawlies, including ticks.
Ah,
it's supposed
ticks.
To be a bad tick season, so we're going to talk to PJ Leash about that after 10 o'clock. Right now, though, delighted to be joined by Civic Media's new news director, Charlie Pittman, is here. Good morning, Charlie. Nice to meet you. Thanks for joining us.
Nice to meet you on air. That's a hard one to say, isn't it? News.
New news. Yeah. New news director. You've been with us just about a month here at Civic Media. For folks who don't know, including us, if you want to tell us a little bit about your background, Charlie.
Sure. Well, I've worked in broadcasting since I was an adult, since I was 18. I come most recently from WORT, which is a community radio station in Madison, Wisconsin. Interesting structure, mostly volunteer run and operated. Everyone on the air is a volunteer. So very used to training and running a news department where we also had an hour-long news show.
Wow, that's great. It's a big job. Civic Media has news reporters all over the state. We're going to talk about that a little bit more a little bit later on. But let's just talk with what happened over the weekend, Charlie, from the news department, at least as far as the U.S. Bombing Iran over the weekend. Where do we stand right now?
Where do we stand right now? Well, we're waiting. We're watching and waiting, right? You know, Operation Midnight Hammer was the decision to strike Iran with these bunker buster bombs and this these massive ordnance penetrators. Obviously, our listeners heard that when we went live this weekend. But right now, we don't know. We are in the waiting period. President Trump is slated to meet with the, I believe, the National Security Council later today. The many nations around the world have condemned it or issued warnings, but we don't know.
Well, and I think the other thing that we don't know, the Trump administration has said we completely obliterated their Iran's nuclear capabilities. From what I'm seeing this morning, that has not been confirmed. We do not know that, correct?
Correct. There are kind of aerial maps that you can look at and kind of guess at. These three sites, Fordo, Natanz, and Isfahan, are deep underground, and they have this. I'm waving with my hands, but listeners can't see that, calling attention to the limitations of the medium. But there are these big, they're reinforced with concrete and all sorts of things and deep underground. So they're hard to reach. It's also hard to tell.
Right.
So we don't know that either.
Yeah. It's not like you can confirm this by sight and just say, yes, everything's been destroyed. Because, again, the president had warned Iraqis or Iranians to evacuate. What that was last weekend. So they did have the Iranians did have the opportunity to move things. If they took that threat that Donald Trump said you should evacuate immediately, if they took that threat seriously, then they had a little time to move things.
Right. Now we aired less than four minute address from President Trump on Saturday night, and he claimed that their nuclear facilities had been obliterated. But again, there's no way to know, especially that quickly, and so we don't know what the potential is.
And this is, I mean, it was quite shocking on Saturday night just to get the news coming through all the notifications, and this came on the heels of him essentially saying, I believe either Thursday or Friday, I'm going to give it 2 weeks.
Thursday. He's up the king, to 2 weeks.
He's the king of the fortnight. He loves 2 weeks. Yeah. 2 weeks to solve everything. But he said 2 weeks, and then this happened, which obviously means that, you know, I mean, we have to assume they didn't just call on that Saturday and say, go, this has been in the, this has to be worked. Now, I am speculating. I do not work for DOD or state, but for him to say 2 weeks and almost 48 hours later for this to happen, I don't want to say it's miscommunication, but it just doesn't seem like this was handled in the best way.
Hey, we have no idea what is going on behind closed doors.
Yeah, exactly.
His counsel. I know that my Saturday night was disrupted. Where were you, Greg?
I was right here running the Racine Raiders game at WRJN and going, oh, no, touchdown. All right, cool. Yay. You know, it's like very much there's no such thing as a quiet weekend or a slow Friday. Every day now is, it can happen anytime.
News is always breaking.
Yeah.
If you're just joining us, Civic Media's news director, Charlie Pittman, is our guest. And we're talking a little bit about what we know as of today after the U.S. bombed Iran over the weekend. Where are Wisconsin's Republican lawmakers on this? Where are Wisconsin's lawmakers in general on this, Charlie?
Glad you asked that. You can find at civicmedia.us a roundup of reactions from Wisconsin's congressional delegation. It's predictably divided. Republicans mostly endorse it, mostly, and Democrats don't, right?
Yeah.
And are calling on the passage of the an update to the War Powers. The War Powers Act, which would require congressional authorization to go to war,
take these kinds of moves. Yeah, right. Because they did not have this when he decided to do this over the weekend.
Well, so I watched the briefing yesterday at the Pentagon, and under the War Powers Act of 1973, it says you must inform Congress within 48 hours. But what's new, there's a new resolution in Congress that was introduced by Representative Thomas Massey and also by a Republican from, I believe, Kentucky, and then Ro Khanna from California, who introduced a bill into the House recently, but it hasn't been passed, and it would require express authorization from Congress for any hostility, taking hostile action on Iran specifically. Mm-hmm.
For those who don't know, Thomas Massey is a Republican lawmaker who came out over the weekend pretty strongly against this move. Mm-hmm. And now he is in the crosshairs of President Trump, who said he's going to make sure he's primaried and get him out of there, because it does seem like within the Republican Party, or at least the MAGAs, there is some division on whether or not this was the right thing to do.
Right. And so I bring that up because Wisconsin's congressional delegation pointed back to that. We have Representative Mark Pocan saying that this must be passed to block Trump from dragging the U.S. into an unconstitutional war in the Middle East. And we had others on the Democratic side echoing those statements. Meanwhile, Senator Ron Johnson endorsing it, saying we could not allow Iran to become a nuclear power. They were getting too close. They wouldn't listen. They wouldn't give it up. So I support President Trump's action. We had our own expert on Saturday night, Stephen Zunes, a professor at the University of San Francisco. He called this nonsense. He said the idea that there was some kind of imminent threat that required military action immediately was nonsense. He pointed to the fact that we could go back to the Iran nuclear deal, but we don't have that anymore.
Right. Yeah. And that was a deal brokered by the Obama administration, which was in place and seemed to be working. There were agreements, as far as, if I remember this correctly, that our inspectors were allowed into Iran to check mm-hmm. on their nuclear capabilities. And then when Donald Trump was elected the first time around, he blew that up. He pulled us out and blew us out of that, took us out of that deal that had been brokered by the Obama administration. It's interesting, though, Tulsi Gabbard was the one who essentially said last week that there were no signs of an imminent threat. She did not go along with Donald Trump's assertion that it had been verified that they were ready to, that Iran was ready to take a move. And now it looks like Tulsi Gabbard has been kind of X'd out of everything.
Yep, I don't have much to say to that, but she has now flipped and said that Iran could produce nuclear weapon within weeks.
Of course,
we're going back and forth.
And back to Senator Ron Johnson, he was on Fox News, either it was yesterday or it might have been this morning, because that is his favorite place to be, and essentially said that this bombing now has done, He is even more resolved now to do more cutting in the budget bill, because what they want to cut for Medicaid and SNAP and all of that stuff, that's not enough. Now that we've done this, he wants the cuts to go even deeper.
This is a very weird path to go from bombing Iran to Medicaid cuts. One of the things I want to talk about really quick, and you both brought this up as far as the divide in the Republican Party, is that, you know, it's not just the lawmakers. I remember listening to the Tom Hartman show here on Civic Media, and a Republican called up and said, while he is a MAGA Republican, even this is giving him pause. And when the world stage is saying we don't like this, it is going to be interesting to see how President Trump will square this to the American public in the face of his own party isn't on board with this. So,
nothing like that ever makes him change his mind.
No, I know.
He just doubles down on it and says he's right.
I didn't say it will change his mind. I said it's how he's going to sell it.
Well, let's talk about whether this is popular with the American public. Anecdotally, we had our reporter from Wisconsin Rapids, Melissa Kay, out there on Sunday, and there was sort of an impromptu protest against this action. She talked to people there, and some told her that this reminded her of when President Bush said there were weapons of mass destruction, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And is the child of parents who heavily followed that. You know, that has a deep and lasting impact on folks watching the United States potentially commit itself to yet another war.
Well, and you bring up a really good point. And George W. Bush and all of his advisors told the American people they had weapons of mass destruction. That's why we needed to go to war. And after how many years and how many lives and how many millions of dollars?
Trillions.
They did not have weapons of mass destruction.
Yes.
So Melissa found a little not necessarily swallowing the administration's claim that Iran was on the brink of attacking us.
Yeah.
Yeah, she talked to the organizer who said it was a spur of the moment call to action and that they were just too furious about the bombing of Iran they wanted to do something. So, you know, not that there haven't been protests before in Wisconsin Rapids, but another thing to add to the protest list.
And I think that's when you were speaking anecdotally, that's something that was very much on social media this weekend is, you know, pictures of George Bush saying there's WMDs and Donald Trump. But also the other thing, too, that I said this on Twitter was that during both his debate with now former President Biden and with Vice President Kamala Harris, he made it so clear that these two are going to be the ones that get us into war. These two are going to put us in the crosshairs of World War III. And I just found it very interesting that Russia invaded Ukraine in February of 2022. And while we did give them munitions, we gave them resources, we gave them money, support, we never got involved in that war in almost 3 years of Joe Biden's presidency. It took us 3 months, less than 6 months to get into now what seems like a war with Iran, which is something that has been on the stage for a long time. That's something that people have really feared. They've been pushing the notion of war with Iran.
Well, and again, you said it correctly, Greg, in that Donald Trump said that everyone else was going to get us into World War III. He's the peace president. Maybe not so much. We're going to continue our conversation with Charlie Pittman on the other side. She is the news director here at Civic Media. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hey, it's Amanda, and we all know that Northeast Wisconsin has some of the best events around, but trying to find them all can be a little tricky. So here at WISS, we decided to do the work for you. Prevent boredom on any night by going to WISS.FM and click events in the top right corner. You'll never have to spend forever scrolling to find out what's going on in your area. And if you've got an event to share, hit us up. Email info@WISS.FM. We can work together to have real news and great conversation while giving you the 411 on what's happening in New Wisco.
At Hazelden Betty Ford,
Treating mental health isn't just about breaking old patterns. It's about braving new ones. As the leader in alcohol and drug treatment for 75 years, we know caring for addiction, anxiety, depression, and trauma goes hand in hand. We're here for you with new tools when life breaks down. Discover your path to better mental health at HazeldenBettyFord.org/Wisconsin. Sponsored by Hazelden Betty Ford Foundation.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. From fighting wildfires with air support, helping civilians in flooded neighborhoods, to delivering food and supplies to those who have lost everything, the Army National Guard always responds when disaster strikes. The Army National Guard also trains to be ever vigilant against threats, foreign and domestic. They protect our skies with missile defense weaponry. They secure our information, communications, and infrastructure with cybersecurity. And they protect us against chemical, biological, and radiological hazards with the civilian support team. The Army National Guard also stands ready to deploy and provide support for conflicts or humanitarian missions abroad. Join the Army National Guard and be there to respond, protect, and support your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. For the last few months, Governor Tony Evers has said repeatedly that he would make a decision about whether or not to run for a third term after the state budget process is completed. In a recent opinion column at the Recombobulation Area, I made the argument that the decision that Evers should make should be to not seek a third term as Wisconsin's governor. This argument is not one of ideological differences or policy disagreements. Tony Evers has been a good governor and has served the state well. This more has to do with Evers' age. He'll be 75 years old in November 2026, and about how the Democratic Party has had a massive, inescapable problem in its unwillingness to pass the torch to the next generation. Tony Evers needs to do what so many other Democrats have struggled so mightily to do and step aside when the time is right. And after Joe Biden's catastrophic 2024, this is a conversation we need to be having, and we need to be having it now. Democrats can't keep repeating the same mistakes over and over. It's time to do things differently.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area. As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Are my babies coming home tomorrow? Ain't that good news?
Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We do have baseball action coming up later on today. Our broadcast starts at 6:05. Crew hosting the Pirates. You can listen live on terrestrial radio to WRCE in Richland Center, WISS in Oshkosh, WRJN here in Racine and Kenosha, WCQM in Park Falls, and WBZH in Hayward. They have Lumberjacks next month.
Oh, we should... We should talk more about that later.
We should maybe go there.
Maybe.
Our broadcast with baseball starts 6:05 today. The crew hosting the Pirates. Right now we are joined by Civic Media News Director Charlie Pittman is here. And Charlie, I wanted to talk a little bit about the Wisconsin budget.
Yes, you're back at home. Okay.
You're back at home. Right. What's happening? What's happening in Wisconsin?
Well, your guess is pretty much as good as mine here, too. I feel like I'm showing up and saying, I don't know.
Nobody knows. But
I can help to get you to where we are at this point. So last week, the budget writing committee had a bunch of meetings and some planned meetings. Not all of them materialized.
Yeah.
So take us back to last Thursday. It feels like so long ago.
It does.
Yeah.
The Joint Finance Committee was scheduled to meet, and it had some big ticket items on its agenda. And they canceled right before the meeting started. So that threw us a bit akimbo.
And this was after, because we talked to some childcare providers who either closed their daycare centers or worked out special arrangements so they could drive 3 hours to get to Madison to attend this meeting. And then our lawmakers, being gracious as they are, just canceled it at the last minute.
Right. And this was after a week of delaying the Joint Finance Committee by several hours, I believe. It's all kind of a blur, but I never quite entirely trust that these meetings are going to happen on time or will happen at all.
Yeah.
So that's where we were. We saw a statement from Devin LeMahieu that the direction that we're headed, that the Republicans felt they were headed in a direction taxpayers couldn't afford. Now we hear from Tip McGuire, a Democrat who's also on that committee, saying, look, you're giving in to the desires of your most extreme legislative caucuses. And that's a quote. And he's pointing to this internal disagreement in the Republican Party. So first we had budget talks between Democrat Governor Tony Evers and the Republican leadership breakdown. This last week and coming into this week, we have internal disagreement within the GOP. There are two state senators, both Republicans, who say they're not or have gestured that they're not going to vote for the budget, for a new budget. And they are, let's see, Kapinga, Senator Chris Kapinga, and State Senator Steve Noss, Republican from Whitewater.
Yeah.
Right. Two slightly different reasons. Kapinga had previously said that he wasn't going to vote for it because he believes the existing budget should carry over. In a kind of thread following his reasoning, he says it would be the lowest spending increase in a decade and that there would be no risk of Governor Evers' veto pen. And so that's why he says he's not going to vote for it. And then there's State Senator Steve Noss, who has repeatedly come after kind of the GOP leadership and everyone to say that this quote might be the worst process used in all of his time in the legislature, unquote. So the worst budget process. Yeah. So we have two kind of disgruntled Republican senators who, you know, because the there's a slim majority,
right.
Republicans need those two to get to a deal. So, again, we don't really know, but what comes after this, right? Well, we have rumors swirling last week of an $87 million cut to higher education funding,
right.
UW-Madison. Mm-hmm. That's a cut when Governor Evers had proposed an $850 million increase for the Universities of Wisconsin or UW system. So we don't, you know, that's a huge disparity.
Yeah.
And trying to square that, I think, is a difficult thing.
And it sounds like the federal level, too. You have Ron Johnson saying, I don't like this budget. And it's not because he wants to put more money in to help people. Like, we need to cut more. We need to cut even more. This program's going to get gotten rid of. And Chris Kapinga is really just the human version of this whole process going, let's just do the old one. That's fine.
And I just find it interesting that at least some of our lawmakers believe that they can take no action. Mm-hmm. They can do nothing. Again, after the Joint Finance Committee traveled around the state, 4 different stops, hearing from hundreds of Wisconsinites about the top issues that are important to them. But our Republicans apparently feel secure enough that them not doing anything is going to be just fine with everybody.
Well,
it's going to be just fine.
Chris Kapinga, who said we should just wait and do nothing, is also the man who said in that same upfront interview that they are the voice of the people. So apparently the people say, don't do anything. Just it's fine. It's all good to go. It's very disappointing to see this kind of gridlock and see the finger pointing that's happening.
If you would like our lawmakers to do something, you can always reach them in a real handy dandy way. Go to myvote.wi.gov. Myvote.wi.gov. Just put in your address. All the contact information for all of your lawmakers will appear. You can always give them a friendly, polite phone call. Check in on what they are or are not doing in Madison. Shelly Pittman is the news director for Civic Media. She's going to be joining us every Monday. Thank you so very much, Shelly. Really appreciate your time. And we will see you next week.
Thanks so much.
We have news coming up next. And then we'll return, talk all things creepy crawlies with PJ Leash, the bug guy. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Ain't that news? Man, ain't that news? I can't wait to get a home where we can finally be alone. Disconnect my telephone. Ain't that good?
news. Man, ain't that news. Ain't that news. Ain't that good news. Man, 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 ain't that news.
This is WISS Berlin-Oshkosh and WZBU New Holstein-Appleton, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, a civic media station.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Wall Street stock markets opened with small losses that have reversed into modest gains. The price of oil was up, down, and then up again, as analysts say investors are watching for Iran's response to the U.S. air attacks on Iran's nuclear sites. There have been more air attacks between Iran and Israel. Iran's foreign minister is in Moscow to meet with President Putin. About 150 million Americans are under heat alerts. ABC's Jim Ryan.
From Raleigh, North Carolina to Philadelphia, the actual temperature will hit 100 this afternoon. But a lack of moisture and wind will make it feel more like 106 to 109 degrees. Escaping the heat may mean driving west about 2,000 miles. Heavy snow has been falling in Montana.
Supreme Court says it'll take up a religious freedom case this fall involving a Rastafarian man imprisoned in the state of Louisiana whose head was forcibly shaved in violation of a court order. This is ABC News.